You're just in time for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Good to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember our contact information as we begin the broadcast. On the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants, they're standing by, the number 888-7000. And the letters CRI. A lot of people hanging on. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up today is Robert, listening in Richmond, Missouri. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Mr. H. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Awesome. Thought-provoking. As I sit and listen to the answers and questions, it makes me think of a whole bunch more questions. Anyway, to get to the question, thinking about the scripture that talks about no sacrifice for deliberate sin. Paul says, the things I hate, that's what I do. So, Paul, is he talking about a person that's saved when we do the things we hate to do?
Well, I think what's important to get in this passage is, first and foremost, that Paul is not talking about another person, but he's talking about himself. And the statement that he makes about himself is not in order to escape the moral responsibility of his sin, but it is a way of communicating the powerful lure of sin. So he says, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature, for I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out, for what I do is not the good I want to do, no, the evil I don't want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. The emphasis, again, intended to communicate that this is Paul speaking of his own life. And this is Paul's recognition, again, of the powerful lure of sin. And I think that the more you grow in righteousness, the more you see the true holiness of God. It is as though you are now illuminated by a bright light that shows all your inconsistencies. And I think this is commensurate with what happens in the Old Testament with Isaiah, who gets a glimpse of God's holiness and himself comes apart at the seams. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Kathy. She's listening in Burbank, California. Hi, Kathy.
Yes. I'm just curious. I was brought up with a Christian father and mother and brought up, you know, reading the Bible and everything. And I've had a little bit of trauma in my life recently, and a lot of my friends have told me to listen to Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, Joseph Prince, and I don't know, they're teaching, I don't know, all I hear is, you know, don't worry about sin, you're already forgiven, and I don't know, I just feel like they're just teaching you that everybody's going to do it, and don't even give it a second thought, and you know, just brush yourself off and keep on going. And I wasn't brought up believing that. I mean, I believe God forgives you, but they just make it sound like it's just an everyday occurrence, so don't worry about it. I mean, T.D. Jakes, I don't know if you know him, but I've listened to his sermons, and he said sometimes God will break the rules in order to get you, you know, it's so sin is okay if that's what it takes to get God, for God to get you out of one situation into a better situation. And I'm having issues with that kind of thinking.
Right. Well, let me say without equivocation that all of the teachers that you have just mentioned are false teachers. I've written about each and every one of them in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. They're purveyors of what's called the health and the wealth or the prosperity gospel. And to them, faith is a force. Words are the containers of the force. And through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So at the end of the day, the issue is not your sin. The issue is how you can access the riches of God. And typically, you do that through mouthing mantras or speaking faith-filled words. So at its root, at its core, this is a prostitution of the biblical idea of faith. In biblical theology, faith is always a channel of living trust from an individual to their God. And as such, faith is only as good as the object in whom it is placed. If it is faith in our own faith, it is not well-placed faith. But if it is faith in our God, then it is true faith. So they're giving you a prostituted Christianity where Christ becomes a means to our end as opposed to being the end. And they're, in essence, teaching people to come to the master's table not for the love of the master, but rather for what is on the master's table. A couple things I want to mention as well. We did an article in the Christian Research Journal on Joseph Prince, so it gives you an overview on his very, very defective theology. And then, as I said, the other people you mentioned, from Creflo Dollar to some of the other teachers that you mentioned, I've dealt with their theology in Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century.
Thank you. I felt that in my heart, and I know God forgives you, and you have to repent, but they just make it sound like everybody's going to do it, and it's going to happen every day, and just put it behind you, and don't think about the past, and I have never felt comfortable with that.
Well, and there's another point here that I think ought to be explicated, Kathy, and that is, when we come to faith in Christ, it's not as though we just make mental assent to a core set of doctrines, but it is that we become apprentices of Jesus Christ, learners or followers, disciples of Jesus Christ. So we should ultimately say with the Apostle Paul, I follow Jesus Christ. And then Paul exhorts us in turn to follow him as he follows Jesus Christ. And that means doing the things that Jesus Christ did so that we not only have everlasting life in the end, but that we have life abundantly in the present. That doesn't mean an abundance of things. That means that we have conformed our bodily functions to the principles of Christ's kingdom. It means that we have developed the inner life where we can hear the still small voice from within. It means that we have embraced frugal living while harnessing the wealth of the world for the kingdom. Not just as something that we use for our own purposes. And it also means that we learn to live all of this out in ecclesia or in church life, which is to say we're never called as individual Lone Ranger believers, but we're always called as a community of faith.
Okay, thank you so much. I felt like I was going crazy, and I thought, I was struggling with this, and thank you for clearing that up for me.
You got it. I want to go back to the phone lines now. Talk to Jean, listening in Dallas, Texas. Hi, Jean.
Yes, hello. I am calling because I once heard a pastor say that children who are not at the age of accountability, even those in the womb, that are, if they were to die and if their parents are unsaved, that they will go to hell. So is that true?
No, it's absolutely false. We have no basis to make that kind of a statement. In fact, why would David rejoice after his infant died? He rejoiced because he said one day he would spend eternity with that infant. So to suggest that infants who die in the womb categorically are lost is simply going beyond the biblical revelation. I think what we're better served to do is leave infants in the hands of an infinitely just and infinitely merciful God. God has given us enough about his nature so that we can trust him no matter what. I mean, this was ultimately the understanding of Job. Job wanted to know the reason why things happened, even death of family members, but in the end, he was able to say, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. And that's the principle, trusting God, even when we don't understand, and trusting our infants in the hands of this infinitely merciful and infinitely just God. So we will know with great certainty in the end that when we stand in the great assize with people from every tongue and tribe and language, we will indeed recognize that God's judgments were altogether just and righteous, and in that we can rest with great peace.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
The famous British apologist G.K. Chesterton once noted, "The true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him." Because at CRI we love what is behind us, our faith, our families, and our freedoms, we will never retreat quietly from the growing assaults on life and truth. Even when the costs are great, we will stand. To join like-minded friends in making a difference at home and around the globe, and to equip fellow believers to stand their ground courageously, become a member of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Stay with us. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a few moments. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory. The menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Dwight. He's listening in Oxnard, California. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, Hank. Yeah, question, Judges chapter 11, verse 30, human sacrifice. And I just want to know your take on that.
Well, this isn't human sacrifice at all. In fact, if you read the entire passage, you'll find that in the end, what Jephthah's daughter was mourning is that she would never marry. And after 2 months, the text tells us she returned to her father, and he did to her as he had vowed, and she was a virgin. So again, verse 38 makes it clear that Jephthah's daughter did not go out and mourn her impending death, but rather her perpetual virginity. Remember, Jephthah was a judge and was not to practice the detestable ways of the pagan nation, such as sacrificing humans in the fire. The moment a judge or a king did something like that, they were anathema, as you see with Ahaz, for example, in 2 Kings chapter 13. And God would not accept a human sacrifice, so offering a daughter to perpetual virginity in temple service becomes the moral equivalent of that in terms of the vow.
That's what I was more or less thinking, but I just wanted to get your clarification on that.
Well, you got it. And again, as I said, Jephthah was not offering human sacrifice to the Lord, and that he would not have compounded one evil, which is the breaking of an oath, by a greater evil, the sin of human sacrifice. His daughter was offered not as a dead sacrifice, but as a living sacrifice, and that for the rest of her life she would be a virgin, and not to bring children into the world to continue the lineage of her father would have been indeed a tremendous sacrifice. So again, this does not have to do with human sacrifice, forbidden, called a detestable practice of the pagan nations that Israel was called to be a light to. And to the extent that Israel participated in those practices, she was no longer a light, but rather had become a prostitute, as many of the prophets talk about and describe Israel as becoming. I want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Shirley. She's listening in Linden, Pennsylvania. Hi, Shirley.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good.
I'm calling. My husband passed away 2 years ago from a car accident. He went very quickly in 2 days. And my husband and I put the Lord first before each other in our marriage. We served the Lord. We loved him, and I love him with all my heart. And I do everything to walk in God's perfect will. What I'm calling about is I realize that I'm not good alone. I'm not good walking alone here. Even though I have the Lord first in my life and I'm serving him, I feel like Ruth felt. And you know, am I doing something, or what do I need to do to find a husband or to receive a husband? Or is it up to the Lord? I ask for God's perfect will in my life. There's been a lot of anxiety. I own a house with 3 acres of land, a lot, and my children are grown and productive, and they're not near me. So I'm very much alone. And I'm delighting myself in the Lord and asking him to give me the desires of my heart. But do I need to do something more than just sit here and be idle and wait for someone to come? What do I do?
Well, Shirley, let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for this divine opportunity to talk to Shirley. And Lord, we are even now exhibiting our dependence on you. The fact that you are our Heavenly Father, that you care for every single need in our life. And Lord, I pray that you would be the balm of Gilead in Shirley's life. as she deals with the hole in her heart and having lost her husband, and even now as she deals with the tragedy of aloneness. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will bring people and circumstances into her life so that her life might be full, overflowing. And, Lord, I pray during this time of loneliness that she will find fulfillment and fellowship in community with the very one who knit her together in her mother's womb. Oh, Lord, become more real to Shirley than the very flesh upon her bones. Lord, I pray that she might become fulfilled within the community of saints, within church life where she experiences you in fellowship with others. And Lord, if it be your will, I pray that you do bring someone into her life so that she can be completed again in companionship. Oh Lord, we pray that in the meantime that she will exercise all of those disciplines that allow us to become apprentices of Jesus Christ, that she might take this time of solitude and silence as a way of fasting from the world and feasting on you. I pray, Lord, that she might meditate upon the Word of God as the missing link between the intake of Scripture and an effective prayer life. Oh, Lord Jesus, touch her life and bring those things into her life that you have ordained for her. But Lord, let her know above all that there's not a single hair that falls from her head, even at this very moment, that you're not aware of, that you love her infinitely. We pray all of this, not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Shirley, you know what I'd like you to do? I'd love for you to get out a Bible, and to meditate on Psalm 139.
139. Yeah. Oh, I know that. Yes, I have meditated on that. Yes, okay.
Just meditate on that passage and just let it become part of the warp and woof of who you are. And even personalize it. Oh, Lord, you have searched me. You know me. You know when I sit, when I rise, you perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Sometimes just take a phrase and go over and over again. That phrase, where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I'm to go up to the heavens, well, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there too. So personalize this and pray it over and over again and recognize that you are truly never alone. If you are a child of the King indwells you. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have a companion who sticks closer than the best of human friends. That's not to say that your pain and your hurt are not real. They are real. They are difficult. But life surely is difficult. And Christianity never gives us the promise of a panacea. What it gives us is the assurance that we can have peace in the midst of life storms. So you're going to have difficult times, but there's an overriding peace that comes when you fill yourself with the presence of the Almighty God.
So I'm doing the right things. I've been in the Word constantly, just in crying out for His perfect will in my life.
Yes, yes, you are.
I'm 64 years old. I was saved when I was 13, and I know the Word, and yet He's become so much more real to me since this has happened. And I want to share that. I don't want to be an idle person. I want to share the Lord with everyone I come in contact with.
Well, Shirley, you are a beautiful woman. I'm sure, inside and out, and you remind me a lot of my mother. When my dad died in 1997, she was left with a huge hole in her heart, and that's why I can empathize with what you're going through vicariously through the life of my mother, who shares with me daily how difficult it was for her. And she chose to remain a widow because she said that my dad was the only guy for her, and she is not going to look anywhere else. But that doesn't mean that's the decision for you. But what I'm saying is that I can empathize with the very difficult circumstance that you're in to some degree. Again, my mother had to find peace in the same way that you're going to find peace, and that is with companionship through Jesus Christ. I pray that meditating upon 139 will be the balm of Gilead in your life, and that God will move through people and through circumstances to fill the void with human companionship as well. Thanks for your call. You'll remain in our prayers. Do remember, you can contact us on the web and find answers to your questions at equip.org. You can find resources that I talk about on the broadcast. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or call our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We see you next time with more of the broadcast.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org.